Now, in our first lesson, we found that just before Jesus came the first time, John the Baptist did the work of Elijah. Here today, in the last generation, this must be done again. His work is to restore how much? All things. And he begins where? In the home. Home is a symbol of heaven. And we are to make all things according to the pattern shown in the mount. God had Moses make in this world a sanctuary that he might dwell among us. The sanctuary was a little house for God, fashioned after his great house in heaven. And every home is to be a little house for God, fashioned after his dwelling place in heaven. So we're going to study along these lines, that we may have here on earth a little heaven to go to heaven in. Now, we noted in our first study the structure, the building itself, which we compared to what? Order, rules. There's something rigid about that. We need something rigid. But if all we have is a structure, it's empty. The thing that made the sanctuary wonderful is this, dear friends. God lived there. Does Jesus live at your house? If he is, it's a sanctuary. If he doesn't, it isn't a sanctuary, even if it should have golden walls. Right? That's right. God is what? Love. Where is that? 1 John 4:8. Notice Adventist Home. Turn to page 18. Beautiful little statement. Next to the last line on the page. Adventist Home, page 18. Every home should be what? A place of love. Every home should be a place of love. Now, love is well represented by light. Selfishness, hatred, suggest darkness. The earth today is dark. Gross darkness covers the people. But in every dwelling of the saints there is to be light. For it is written, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. In the sanctuary, both in heaven and on earth, we see the beautiful light. And I want to study this light with you this afternoon and other symbols in the sanctuary for the presence of God and for the love of God. Now, looking at the sanctuary, what was revealed here between the cherubim? What was the Shekinah? The presence of God. That's right. That's right. Was there light there? Oh, yes. And there were times that light and glory there in the most holy place shone out in such brilliance that the priest ministering in this first apartment had to retire to the door of the sanctuary. And of course, there were rays of that then shone on out. Yes, God is light, and the light is love. Now, here in the holy place, any light? Yes. The purpose of the seven-branched candlestick was to give what? Light. But this is not the only light and the only evidence and symbol of presence. Here in the golden altar, a fire was burning all the time. And what was ascending as the result? The smoke of incense, fragrant perfume, filling both apartments and on out into the court and into the camp. And here again we have a beautiful symbol of love. Light is pleasant, as the wise man says. incense is fragrant. Both of these may represent for us the love that fills heaven and that God desires shall fill our homes because they fill our hearts. Now, let's go still farther out. Out here in the court. Any fire out here? Yes. Now, if you'd come to this tabernacle, suppose in the evening or in the early morning while the stars are still burning, would you have seen any light here in the court? Yes. I want you to see something very interesting before we get through our study today about that fire on that altar. Keep it in mind. We'll come to it later. My point is this. You have from the entrance into the court, right on through the sanctuary, burning and shining lights. Now, if you'll turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter, I want to pick up a New Testament application in the words of our Lord. Now, I want you to see how he links this with the home in figure. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 15 and 16. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a what? And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And the house we're studying in this class is the home. The sanctuary of the home is to be filled with light. 16th verse, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. The light is from God, but it shines in the lives of his children. That light is manifest in good works. That's the light of love revealed in a practical way. In cutting wood, in washing dishes, in cooking meals, making beds, making garden, sweeping the porch, taking care of the baby, and 101 other practical ways. And notice, Jesus puts it where? In the last three words of the 15th verse? Where? In the house. Ah, my dear friend. How many people have the idea that the way to shine is to go somewhere? But the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest nearest home. Is that right? A trip never made anybody a missionary. Foreign missionaries are first home missionaries. In fact, if God sends them to a foreign field, when they get there, they're to be at home and they'll still be home missionaries. And our first place of service, our first place of love, is in the home. Now you remember, we dwelt on that at the close of our study in the first lesson. Turn again to Messages to Young People, the last page, 466. Last paragraph, second sentence. It is by faithfulness to duty in the parental home that the youth are to prepare themselves for homes of their own. Let them here practice self-denial and manifest kindness, courtesy, and Christian sympathy. Thus, love will be kept warm in the heart. You know, generations ago, in some countries where most of the warmth and came from a fireplace, and most of the cooking was done there. Sometimes when a new home was started, the bride would carry from the home of her mother and father coals from that fireplace, around which she'd been brought up. And from those coals, the fire in the new home was started. Beautiful figure, a beautiful symbol. That's what this is talking about. The place to experience love is not after we're married, friend. In fact, may I put it this way? He who marries because he has never experienced love and hopes that by marrying he will experience it, does not know the nature of love. He does not know God's plan for love. It is by faithfulness to duty in the parental home that the youth are to prepare themselves for homes of their own. Let them here practice self-denial and manifest kindness, courtesy, and Christian sympathy. Thus, love will be kept warm in the heart. And the rest of the paragraph is meaningful. My point is this, dear friends. Love is not just for husband and wife. It's for everybody. It's for every member of the family and every relationship of life. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Oh, I'm so thankful for this wonderful love, shining in the heart, burning in the heart, shining in the home, burning in the home. All right? Now, Jesus says here, it gives light to all that are in the house. Turn, please, to Luke, the 8th chapter. Here's an additional detail that I like. Luke 8:16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. My dear friends, if love is burning in our homes, if it is shining in the hearts of the members of the home, all who enter into that home will see what? The light of love. Oh, that it may be so. This is indeed making home a missionary agency. Turn now to Adventist Home, page 37, right on this point. Oh, this is a beautiful paragraph. Third paragraph on page 37. From every Christian home, a holy light should shine forth. Will you read this with me? From every Christian home, a holy light should shine forth. Love should be revealed in action. It should flow out in all home intercourse, showing itself in thoughtful kindness, in gentle, unselfish courtesy. There are homes where this principle is carried out, homes where God is worshipped and truest love reigns. From these homes, morning and evening prayer ascends to God as sweet incense, and his mercies and blessings descend upon the suppliants like the morning dew. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Beautiful figures. All right. Now, you notice there's brought into us here not merely the light, but the incense. There are two altars here at the sanctuary, one at the door, the altar of burnt offering, one within, the altar of incense. Let's take a thought or two on each one of them. Leviticus 6:12-13. This is speaking of the altar burnt offering at the door of the sanctuary. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Priest shall burn wood on it every morning, lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Now notice that 13th verse. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. God intends that in our homes, friends, the light of love shall never cease. The fire of love shall never go out. But do you know why that fire never went out on the altar? How did it start, by the way? God kindled that fire. But why did it not go out? The priest kept adding fuel. You notice that 12th verse? The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. Now, take your Adventist home, page 212. See something wonderful here. Would the fire have gone out if the priest hadn't kept putting the sacrifice on it? Yes. Every morning, every evening, he put on the wood, put on the lamb. Adventist Home, page 212. All members of the family center in the Father. He is the lawmaker, illustrating in his own manly bearing the sterner virtues, so forth. Next sentence. The Father is in one sense the what? The priest of the household. Now, in a reference that I may give you another time, it's clearly stated that the mother is to do that work when the father either is absent or father is not able to function. In other words, what's the point? No home is to be without this sacrifice, morning and evening. And if you're all by yourself, like out on an errand for God someplace, remember, wherever you are can be a Bethel. Jacob found it so, didn't he? All right, but we're talking now about a typical situation. The Father is in one sense the priest of the household, laying upon the altar of God the morning and evening sacrifice. Oh, what a picture. Now back to Leviticus 6, 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Dear ones, if at times the fire of love burns low in your home, your heart, it may be that the morning sacrifice was neglected. It may be that the evening sacrifice was omitted. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. God will kindle the fire, my friends, when we come to Him and are converted, born again. But we've got to keep putting the fuel on. As we study God's Word, as we pray, as we confess our sins, as we yield our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. If we want a home where love shines, where love burns, remember, we must keep presenting the sacrifice, morning and evening. Now, let's go to Exodus, the 30th chapter, and notice this other altar. Oh, this is beautiful. This is the altar of incense within the veil. Here too is fire, the fire of God, the incense, filling the sanctuary and out into the court with fragrance. Exodus 37 and 8. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Do you see, friends, in this that Jesus is suggesting that our homes should be happy places? Places of pleasure, places of enjoyment, places where people like to be. Light, warmth, incense, fragrance, all these suggest that which is attractive and pleasurable. Now, notice this next verse, ninth verse. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon. In other scriptures, you will find that God had a special incense prepared that was to be used only in the sanctuary, and He forbade the use of any other recipe. My dear friends, we need not only love in the home, we want to be sure it is divine love. Again, that fire that was upon the altar, both in the court and within the veil, where did that fire originate? In heaven. Do you remember two young men who one day thought that it didn't make any difference what fire they used, just so it was fire? What were their names? Nadab and Abihu. Put in your notes Leviticus 10 verses 1 and 2. They offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not, and there went out fire from before the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. My dear friends, it is not enough that we love. Don't miss this. It must be divine love. The world today is having many experiences in what they call love. But the question is it divine love? Or is it merely lustful passion? Was it kindled from heaven? Or is it a mere human impulse? Notice this expression in page 68 of Adventist Home. Adventist Home, page 68. The last two sentences on this page. Human love should draw its closest bonds from divine love. Only where Christ reigns can there be deep, true, unselfish affection. I ask again, does it make any difference where we get our fire? Where we get our incense? Oh, it makes all the difference in the world. Thank God, friends, for the privilege of having fire on our altars that has been kindled by God Himself. What do you say? Now how? Let's turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 and 38. Here is the recipe. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The first thing to know about love is this, that we are to give to God how much of our love? All of it? Well, how much will there be left for my wife? None. How much will there be left for my children? None. How much for my brother? None. How much for my sister? None. Thou shalt do what? Never be afraid of what the Scripture says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thine heart. And with all thy soul and with all thy mind, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But this is not the first commandment. It's the what? Second. We can never love our neighbor as we should until we have first given all our love to God. This is another way of saying that true love coming from heaven is to be bestowed as He directs. Just as we have no right to spend our money foolishly, we have no right to bestow our love foolishly. Just as we look to God in the expenditure of money, we look to Him in the bestowal of affection. Turn to Adventist Home, page 54. Adventist Home, page 54. Guard the affections. The last six lines. You have then to guard the affections, not letting them go out and fasten upon improper objects. Jesus has purchased you with His own life. You belong to Him. Therefore, He is to be consulted in all things as to how the powers of your mind and the affections of your heart shall be employed. If Samson had learned this lesson, he never would have loved Delilah. If David had learned this lesson, he'd never look twice at Bathsheba. The first thing that we need to learn about love is that all our love belongs to whom? God. And that we are to therefore give Him all our love and then let Him direct us, guide us in the bestowal of all